chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2. We do this. It is a custom in the house that we honor the word of the Lord and we stand up and read it all together in concert. This 1,232 people that's located inside of this building right now, we do it together in unity, in harmony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. I want to read that scripture again. And being found, no, the same one we, what was it, six? But, okay. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men like us. Let's go to John 15 and 15. We're going to get both the texts out the way so we can flow. John 15, 15. It says, y'all ready? One, two, three. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the word that you've given me to give to your people. I pray that the engrafted word, Father God, would do what you sent it to do and not return unto you void. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good on this morning. I feel good on this morning. Well, I feel good. I knew that I would. But I feel good in Jesus. I feel good in him. Because when I think about what he's done for me, I can literally lose my mind because I know where I would be if it wasn't for his blood. Oh, my God. Sound booth, y'all ready back there? Mary made a song titled, It's the God in Me. And one of the key points in the song is that you see me looking good on the outside, but my outside is only a reflection of the greater one who lives and has taken residence on the inside of me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the God in you. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's the God in me. The song states, you think I'm so fresh, you think I'm so clean, you think I'm so sweet, but it's the God in me. What is it that you think you see when you see me? As he is in the world, so are we. When you see me, you see him. When I see you, I ought to see him. When you look in the mirror, you ought to see a perfect reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our God and he is our brother, but you got to know it. It's the God in you. I love this song because even though these young ladies can sing, it's a hit song, and they beautiful and all that good stuff, the thing that I love about it is they're not making themselves of no reputation in this song. What they're doing is taking the focus off of themselves and putting the focus on God, who lives on the inside of us. Remember, if y'all agree, say amen. We have to humble ourselves in the sight of God, because God resists the proud, but he pours out his grace upon the humble. We ought not to be turning our nose up on people who come into church. We ought not to say, ooh, he smell good. Ooh, he stink. Let's put him in the back. No, let's put her up front. No, we are all equal, and God counted it not robbery to be equal, but that we all be on an even flow and that we can all be just like him. Remember, he resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. That word humble is a Greek word. It's pronounced tapanu. It means to make yourself low, to bring low. It means to assign yourself to a lower rank or position. The title of my message on today is Anonymous. 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 It ain't about no title or position in the body of Christ. It is all about a personal relationship outside of these four walls with Jesus Christ. It's not about you having a little black and white button on saying, Usher. is not about all of these things, the appearance to people. It is about having a personal one-on-one fellowship, intimate relationship with God where nobody else sees you. Where it's you and it's him. Jesus making himself of no reputation. It makes me think about that show, The Undercover Boss. It's this man. It'd be millionaires. And they come down and they take off their millionaire status and they make themselves of a lower rank. They humble themselves and they come down and they work with the workers. But what they doing, they coming down undercover to look at the hearts of their employees. Jesus comes down. He looks down from heaven into our hearts because the Bible says in the Old Testament that men look at the outer appearance, but God look at what? The heart. He pays attention to all things. So this undercover boss reminds me of Jesus. He came down 42 generations, born of a virgin. He lived a normal life but like us, but he was extremely holy and without sin. Which tells me that we can be sinless the more we get into the one who died for our sins. And he was perfect. He was flawless. He took on sin for a people who would be born with flaws. Because the Bible says we were born into sin and shaping into iniquity. So when he came down and he died on the cross, he thought about you, 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 you. He thought about your kids and the kids after you. He thought about everybody else but himself. He made himself of no reputation. If Jesus would have got a tattoo, that tattoo would have said anonymous on his arm, because it wasn't about him, but he came down and he was concerned about us. He saw the best in us, so he died for the worst of us, and he made himself anonymous. And that rhymed, but I ain't rapping today. The word anonymous, according to Webster, means to be unidentified. Somebody say, I'm a UFO. That means that you are unnamed, you are unrecognized, meaning you're not concerned about no title, or even if you do have a title, you ain't flaunting the title. But see, people have to understand, promotion comes from the Lord. It says not, promotion comes not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, but it don't say the north. Y'all got to catch this. It don't say the north. So promotion comes from the Lord, but the higher we go, the lower we ought to be. Because God resists the proud. I'm going to keep saying this over and over all throughout the text. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you want the grace of God to rest upon your life, then you have to humble yourself in the up under the hands of the mighty God. And it says resist the devil and he'll flee. But several times in the text, we see that Jesus had an agenda not to glorify himself because he made himself of no reputation, but he always was willing to glorify his Father and put himself on the back burner and say, I'm here to do the Master's will, and I only do what I see him do. Is y'all here today? So if he did it, if he took on the position of a slave, of a servant, and took off his crown and robe and came down 42 generations through the lineage of David just to make it to us, what ought we to do? What should we be doing? I'm gonna be quiet in the middle of this sometimes, so when I say some of this stuff, and it may be a simple revelation, some of y'all may be like, I heard that before, you ain't teaching, I'm teaching. Watch this. Because I want you to think in between what I'm saying. Anonymous, unidentified, unnamed, not recognized. Who you are in God is not based upon a title or position or a piece of paper that can get sent to the elder in the mail. Who you are in God is who he created you to be. And you got to know Genesis 1:26 because we was made in his image. So like I always say, it's you, but it's the God in you. Because when you see me, you should see him. When you see you, you should see him. When you bring people to church, you should be able to look at them and say, you look different. You don't look the same. You begin to look like Christ. God is working on the inside of us. He's stirring up some stuff in us right now. But I'm telling you, it's okay to remain anonymous. We are who we are by the grace of God. And the real us is not who everybody see on Sunday and Tuesdays. The real us is that particular person who nobody sees but your spouse, or that God sees behind closed doors, because there is no realm, there's no place where he can't go or look. He seeks and he finds. He knows all things because he's God. And the beautiful thing is that he don't judge us according to what we look like or what we're going through. But he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Jesus came down and gave us an example of how we ought to be. He performed many miracles. Then he slipped away in the crowd and he said, I don't want nobody to know who I am. So why is it that we got all these big titles and big names and it's about me and it's about this? And no, it ain't about you. You was bought with a price. That means there's a price tag hanging on your soul. And the one who owns you, he really owns you. He's in control. But sometimes we get in the way and we want to do our own plan, our own agenda. But if you want to remain anonymous, you got to lay your will down and pick up his. Pick up your cross and follow him, because God has a plan for you. And I guarantee you, once you say, God, I'm ready, he going to do some stuff you never seen before. Matthew 16 and 20 states, Matthew 16 and 20 says that Jesus strictly ordered his disciples not to tell anyone who he really was. He wasn't looking for the bright lights. He wasn't looking for the big stage. He wasn't looking for the entourage. He wasn't looking for the Bentleys of 50 people sitting outside the concert. He wasn't looking for the backstage pass. He wasn't looking for the girls to be waiting outside of his room. He was looking to bring glory to his Father by remaining anonymous. He wanted to show the earth the Father that was hidden on the inside of him. There are some things on the inside of you that you don't even know about yet. You know why? Because he lives in you. And once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, he don't just come empty-handed. He come with 9 gifts. But you got to know what you got, and you got to know what you're working with. And I'm telling you, as long as you remain the co-pilot and don't get behind the driver's seat, you'll make it to your destiny. Jesus, the name of all names, made himself a no name so your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He became our substitution on the cross. He came and he told God, time out. Time out, Father, time out. And he stepped down from eternity into time so that we would not be separated eternally from him in time, so we can come in the grandstands of heaven and we wouldn't have to go to hell. But if he would have never died, it would have been only one place that we would have went. Somebody say Jesus. 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 Jesus, when he was in the earth, he wasn't concerned about a title. Remember, he said, I only do what I see the Father do. He was an ambassador. An ambassador is a representation of somebody who sent you. When you go out, if you work for a company and you doing delivery drive for this company, when you go out and you be mean mugging these customers and they call back and they say, I ain't never coming back to that place again. You know why? Because you misrepresented them. So people see you, and this is the thing about church, see. You never know who watching you or who see you when you outside of these four walls. So you think you can live any type of way and do any type of thing, and then people see you, and they go back and tell this person that, and then the first thing a person who don't know the Lord will say is, that's why I don't go to church now. And you just blew your opportunity to witness and lead somebody else into the kingdom of God behind one mistake that you did out in the open. But even that mistake that you did out in the open or behind closed doors, the Lord is gracious. People will judge you. People will talk about you. People will gossip about you. People will put their mouth on you, but Jesus put his blood on you. So don't worry about it. So many people want to be acknowledged in the earth. Everybody want to shine. But the point they miss is that he desires to bring them out of darkness so that they can come and shine in his marvelous light. But everybody keep missing it because it's about me, me, me. I. We. Selfishness in the kingdom. When Jesus came down and said, it ain't about me. It's about my Father's will being done. And no matter what I got to go through, no matter how it look, no matter how much pain, no matter if they beat him with the cat and nine tails, no matter if they stuck a crown of thorns in his head, he did it for us. But these people in the world, they want to shine. They want to walk around with $1 million. Can you fit $1 million in your pocket? Can you? Do you think you could? You know how Fred Sanford and them used to do it. I have to have money stashed up here everywhere to have $1 million on me. But everybody want to shine. 2 Chainz. Here we go. Gucci. 2 Chainz. We were slaves 400 years. Jesus came to break every chain, and this rapper wants to scream his name, 2 Chainz, 2 Chainz, and he wants us to live a lifestyle of sin so that the person that God has called us to be, we'll never become that person, because sin clouds us up and it separates us from our God, and we will never be who God called us to be if we don't repent and get back in position in our relationship with God. But the thing is, 2 Chainz, 2 Chainz, handcuffs. 2 Chainz, 2 Chainz, bondage. 2 Chainz, 2 Chainz, 400 years that God heard our cry so much that he sent Moses and Aaron to go and get us out of the land of Egypt. We're up under Pharaoh. 2 Chainz, 2 Chainz, he wants you to be locked up. You know why? Because he ain't working for God. I'm going to keep it real. He ain't working for God. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Look at the fruit. Look at the power of influence that Jay-Z got over the world. Over 2 million followers. If he would just say, I repent. I understand that I'm not the real Hova, but I want to get on my knees and I want to bow down and I want to serve the real Jehovah, the real Yahweh, the real the great I am. It ain't about me or my title or my reposition or my position, but I want to represent him. The enemy is at work in the earth. And it's through these popular names and titles. 2 Chainz, Nicki Minaj. If you really knew her name, man, you would be like, ugh, that's nasty. Nicki Minaj? For my grown-up crowd, y'all know what that word Minaj means. I ain't gonna go there. But watch this. If I was to rap about that, I would say, it's time to wake up, put Lil Wayne and Drake up, see the real Nicki Minaj without that makeup. You got to know who's speaking into your life. You can't let somebody that's led by the wrong spirit speak into your life. You got to listen to the Spirit of God by the Word of God, and he'll give you revelation on who you called to be. But when you get the title, remain anonymous. Remain anonymous. Remain anonymous. Oh, the enemy put these so-called stars, and I heard a star was nothing but something that was full of gas. All these artists, all these people on TV, Scandal, all this stuff that's trying to lead us in the wrong direction, Big Brother, and all these reality shows. Why they want to put all these reality shows out here when ain't nobody keeping it real? Real? Reality comes from the word real. So how you going to put something that appears to be my reality before me and try to convince me and deceive me to make me believe something that's a lie? The enemy puts these people here as his preachers. Ho, 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 ho. These rappers who are rapping and leading the youth and the generation in the wrong place, these are preachers for the devil. And you got to know it. If he's told us, the church, to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then who do you think they preaching? Who do you think they glorifying with 2 Chainz and 30 chains around their neck? Remember Lucifer, how pretty he was as an angel when he had all that stuff. He was all draped up. He had it going on. But guess what? He didn't want to remain anonymous. He wanted a title bigger than what God has given him as an angel, and God body slammed him and put him in the DDT in the earth because he said, there is no God and there is no other like me, and all my glory I will not give to another. But the enemy want to put these people on TV, on these shows, and just have our kids looking at these sex cartoons. You got to watch what your kid watching. Sneak in the room and look and peek your head around the corner and really see what they talking about. Because I was watching a cartoon with my kids before, and Bart Naked was Bart Naked. If that ain't Pastor Ken, I don't know who it is. Bart Simpson was naked and ran across the screen, and everything that was supposed to be private was open. And I said, what in the world is this? Bart Simpson, a cartoon that's made for kids, he running around naked and revealing his baseball and his baseball bat and the balls? Yeah. How is he doing this? It's unreal. But the enemy has given these people the power of influence through music, and it is powerful. Music is a powerful tool. Do you see how you invite the presence of God in during worship? So don't you think when all this foolishness going on and they riding around, like Pastor Ken always say, we used to ride down the street, dope man, dope man. And before you know it, you got an ounce in your pocket and you hustling. And they talking about loud and all this good weed that's out here. Before you know it, that's going to get an ounce of smoke all day and get the munchies and figure out how I can fall asleep with a blunt in my mouth and still get high while I'm unconscious. It makes us stupid. But it's the power of influence that the enemy have put into the earth realm, and we have to watch for deception because the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies and have been a liar from the beginning. But remember Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't step down from eternity into time to be acknowledged as Prophet Jesus, Evangelist Jesus, Pastor Jesus, Apostle Jesus. He came down and said, I strip myself of who I am that I may be all that he have called me to be. And that's what we got to do in our life. Know that your agenda may not be God's agenda for your life. Your direction that you think that you're going in, you may be going in the wrong direction. So you need to tap into the Holy Ghost. Tap into the Holy Ghost and let him speak to you and become your spiritual GPS system. And if you're off track, he'll get you back on track. And you will get to that place where he called you to be. But quit going to the left. Quit going to the right. Stay on that straight and narrow path. And when you get there, and I'm telling you, when you put on your right, when you put on your white robe and you make it into the grandstands of heaven, you'll be like, I thank God that I didn't flaunt a title or a position or a place that he put me in, because that position, that title, or that place might have made me get big-headed, and God don't operate in pride. But I made it. Somebody say, I made it. I made it. But Jesus demonstrated miracles, signs, and wonders, and then he glorified God, not him. He raised the dead. He didn't say, look at me. I could do this again. Who else did? Somebody just died in front of me? No, he didn't say that. He healed the sick. He didn't say, call me Dr. Jesus, and my hours are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. No, he remained anonymous. He cast out demons, but he didn't parade himself around flaunting his title. He did it through love and humility. And he always said, it ain't about me. It's about my Abba. It's about my Father. Is your will separating you from the will of God? Is the lifestyle that you live in 7 days a week? Think about it. Is it taking you on a path to the left when God says, continue on my straight and narrow path? You can call me anonymous. I don't care that y'all say Minister Brian or obedient. That don't bother me. I don't care. Because it ain't about me. My title ain't who I am. I'm here because I love God and I love y'all. And I know what God has done in my life. And I tell the whole world, if he did it for me, he ain't a respecter of person. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. He will do it. But you can call me saint, because we were all God's kids and we're consecrated and set apart for his purpose. You can call me a UFO once again, because I want to be unidentified. I don't want to be like Tupac. All eyes on me, live my life as a thug until the day I, all eyes on me. What is that saying? Here I go, look at me. I did time in the pen, and I love Tupac. No bad shots out to my man. I love Hail Mary. I love some of them songs he got. I used to be bumping it in my Thunderbird, driving crazy. But this is the thing, the power of influence. Here I go again, back to the music. What he's saying, I'm listening to it. I'm saying it over and over again by repetition. And what he's saying, I want to do it. The things that you speak out of your mouth comes from your heart, because your heart and your mouth is connected. So whatever you continually say, you're going to begin to continually do. But I don't want all eyes on me. You can call me Bookman from Good Times, because I'd rather have a big old set of keys and be a janitor around the church than be standing on the corner selling dope and smoking wet how I used to be. You can call me parking lot, because I'd rather go out into the parking lot and pick up grass and pick up trash and sweep up glass. And I'm like, why do I keep rhyming? Is it time for me to do a new CD? I would rather do these things than to be concerned about a title when I sit up here. Y'all must serve me. No, I came up here to a higher level so I can go to a lower level and serve y'all. I don't mind painting around the church. I don't mind picking up trash. I don't mind straightening up chairs. I don't mind standing out here in 90-degree weather passing out flyers when I'm able to do it. I don't mind. And see, one thing I know about Pastor Ken, the man got so much power and strength and integrity. If he had two legs, we would never be able to keep up with him. What? On one leg? Working 8 jobs? Taking care of his family? Running restaurants? Moving across the country? Opening up not 4 churches, 8 churches. I prophesied to him. Opening up churches all around the world? On one leg? Limping on one leg? One leg, and we got 2, but what are we willing to do? Why do I keep rhyming? I'm telling you, this is crazy. But you can call me what you want to call me, because I ain't chasing no title. You can call me Mr. Bentley from the Jeffersons, because I would rather serve you at the door free of charge than for you to give me a tip and miss Jesus. You can call me what you want to call me. You can call me, long as you don't cuss at me. But the world and some churches, not life changers, they need to strip themselves of labels and titles so that they can look in the mirror and see who they really are. Because you can have a title or a position and still be jacked up. You can have a title or a position and still have an addiction that don't nobody know about. You can be in a position spiritually and be jacked up naturally. Nowadays, you can go online and be a pastor. Come on, y'all know y'all done seen that. The little button that flashed, it'd be like a little blue and white, and just be flashing down the button. Do you feel that you've called to be a pastor? Send us $226 in 4 easy payments, and we'll send you an ordination package so that you can be who God has called you to be. Let me tell you, you can never be nothing that God won't allow you to be. And if he allows you to be that particular person, it's because he set it up and he foreordained it and he predestined it before you was even born, before you even got here. But it's all about who he's called you to be. And once you realize that who he's called you to be and what he wants you to do, remain anonymous. You cannot make yourself a person that you have not been set up strategically positioned on the inside, because what he's done is he's already placed everything on the inside of you. Then he puts you in a position where you got to spend time alone with him like a caterpillar and a butterfly, where what he placed on the inside of you, he began to pull out, but you can't make a withdrawal if you don't know that he already made a deposit. He already put it on the inside of you. Oh my God. Some people like to play chess, so they go online and get ordained and call themselves a bishop. Y'all missed that. Some people like to sit there and play chess all day, and they're so used to saying checkmate. So they say, I should be a bishop in the church. But if God ain't called you to be a bishop in the church, you can't be a bishop in the church. It's not about your title. It's about relationship. Watch this. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. Did he say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make your title great? Your name. Who God calls you. The name that rests up on your life. Who everybody calls you. Hey, Brian, my name is blessed. Pastor, not because it's a pastor in front of the Brian, that don't decree and declare that I'm blessed. That decree and declare that I'm obedient to the will of God and word of God for my life, and I submit to who he's called me to be. But he has already blessed you and made your name great. When you look at it in the text, in the Amplified, that word great means famous. But guess what? You're going to be famous for him. You ain't going to be famous for the devil. You ain't going to be out there promoting all this foolishness that's taking the youth and the generation in a whole nother direction than who God has called them to be. We have to love God and serve God and get to know him personally and desire to do more for him. And your title ain't got nothing to do with that. The higher you go, the lower you have to go and remain anonymous. We all have a role to play, and your title ain't got nothing to do with it. I came to tell you today that your title is not what's most important in the kingdom. People will measure you and put you inside of a box because you got a title. I thought you was a pastor. How you get mad? I'm human. Pastors are human. Five-fold ministry, we human. I thought you was an elder. I thought you was a PPA. Huh? And then you make one mistake, they turn around and say, what's the favorite line? That's why I don't go to church. Because they sit back and they watch us and they mock us and they put you inside of this jack-in-the-box, and every time you blow it, the little thing pop up. Got you again. But they sit back and they want to say, you're supposed to be perfect. But if you look in the text, the word perfect means mature. It means that you're growing up into the fullness of Christ, that you begin to look like him, that when you see me, you see him, that when people see you, they say, man, what has brought forth this change in your life? Come to Life Changers with me. Come to church with me. Come to Bible study with me. Come. Matter of fact, come to my house. Pastor released the word. He said in this season, we all should be doing Bible studies in our houses. This is the year of self-development. If you've been taught and trained anything in this house, then you ought to be like an open book. You ought to be like a fruitful tree, inviting people into your house to do Bible study, laying your hands on them, casting out demons, and filling people with the Holy Ghost. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you the strength. Why are we not doing it? You got to believe you can do it. You got to believe you could do it. Oh, my God. So don't judge me or nobody else in the body of Christ by their title. But love. And I'm glad that it's quiet because I ain't trying to make you hoop and holler and run around. Love. 1 Corinthians 13. Without love, we nothing. All these gifts, all these titles, all these names, I'd rather remain anonymous and operate in love and please God. Because anything outside of love is sin. Anything outside of who God has called you to be, sometimes you can step into doubt and unbelief. I don't want to step into that stuff. Hallelujah. Over in one of our main texts, let's look at John 15:15. You're already there. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. One thing about a servant is that a servant works for the master, for the boss, and the servant don't know everything that's going on behind closed doors. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I will no longer call you by title, by disciple, by evangelist, by pastor, by prophet, by apostle, by teacher. He says, give me the title back. Return the title to the sender so that you can be who I've called you to be. He says, if you continue to be titled and live by that title and not remain anonymous, he says, I will have to keep some secrets from you because you're still a servant. That's what the text says. But if you become a friend of Jesus, friends sit down and fellowship and talk and even share secrets with each other. So you ain't got to worry about my title. Just call me a friend of Jesus. I'm a friend of Jesus. You a friend of Jesus. It ain't about that. But he calls us closer. He calls us to a higher level of intimacy. He says, now I call you my friend. And since I call you my friend, I want you to know that I know everything about you. I trust you. And I want you to know me more. He invites us. It's like the Lord just be begging us, saying, come closer, come closer. And guess what he did? Right in the text, he sent us a friend request. But I call you friends. Have you ever received friend requests on Instagram, Facebook, and you look at the person's picture and you say, oh, no, I ain't finna accept them as no friend. But Jesus' track record is good. You ain't got to worry about Jesus being jacked up. You ain't got to worry about Jesus betraying you. You ain't got to worry about Jesus telling your business and gossiping and telling church folk and sitting in the back talking. Did you see them jeans she had on the day? They was too tight and they was too little. She trying to bring back the bell-bottom game, talking about folk. That ain't what friends do. So you ain't got to worry about Jesus doing that. He says, I call you all my friends. I want to reveal some things to you now that I call you my friend. I want to tell you some secrets. I want to show you some things that the world don't know. He wants to show us some secrets. We don't have to worry about Jesus doing us wrong. Everything that he has done is perfect. Everything that he has done, he has glorified the Father. He's not the son of man that he should lie. He loves us. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. He is the bread that came down from heaven, and he was broken for me and you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was written upon him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the one that is, that was, and is to come. Jesus, the best friend you can ever have in your life. If you ain't got no friends, I'll be your friend. But seek Jesus, and he'll be the best friend that you know you can trust. He is the name above all names. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. He is the slain Lamb of God, counted worthy to open the books in heaven. He is the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is Yeshua. He is the great I Am. He is the Messiah Christ, the Anointed One. He is the only begotten of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for me and for you. He is grace and mercy. He is the number one. He is the Lion and the Lamb. He is brave, bold, and courageous, and gentle all in one. He is the one who made himself of no reputation. He is the one who made a way for us to enter into heaven by his precious blood. He is. Say Jesus. 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 He is. This is a wake-up call for the church that it ain't about your title or your position. It is about your relationship with God. Wake up. It's time to wake up. Look in the earth. Look at things that we're facing as the church. Look at things that the world are going through. Look at all this stuff. Look at Anthony Sowell. He started it. Now he got somebody around here trying to mimic him and copy him instead of copying Christ. A preacher for the devil. I'm telling you. A preacher for the devil. Look at all this stuff going on. It's a wake-up call. Look all the way back to 9/11. How many years have God been trying to get our attention as the church? Look at this. A man can strap a bomb to his body and walk into a building and kill himself and attempt to kill 1,000 people with him. That ain't God. Gina, Michelle, Amanda. How can a man kidnap these women and keep them hostage for all them years and steal their life, snatch it right out their hand, and then turn around on TV and say everything was consensual? But you had them in chains. Two chains. You had them in chains. You had them in bondage. You had them locked up. And that's what the devil's plan is for the church and for the world, to keep us locked up so we can never get loose to be everything that God has called us to be. But I came to tell you on the day, it is a wake-up call. And your wake-up call ain't about your position or your title. We have to get in a place where we hear God, where we know God, where we know we're going in the right direction. And we won't miss as long as you focus on him. Keep your focus and your perspective in the right place. Stop looking out there when everything you need is in here. Look on the inside of yourself. You ain't got to keep running around talking about, what is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? Get on your knees for yourself and say, God, what is the word for me on the day? He'll give you a word for your situation every day if you trust him. First of all, if you seek the kingdom first and all his righteousness, these things will be added unto you. You ain't got to chase stuff. You ain't got to chase titles. You ain't got to chase people. Learn how to chase God, and I guarantee you he going to turn around and he going to reward you, because he says that he will reward those who diligently seek him. Diligently is every day, all day, every chance I get, on the toilet, in the shower, at work, in the car, wherever I'm at, I'm thinking about God. And I ain't distracted by the world and the world system, because all that stuff is put in place to say, hey, don't read your Bible today. Look over here. Hey, don't pray today. Come over here. Come over here and eat these two Whoppers because they 2 for $5. Distraction. I'm telling you, distraction come in many different forms. Food distracts me a lot of time. Can I be transparent? Can I be honest? I know I got a set time with God. I work third shift. So sometimes I get too full on the clock. And when I go to bed, I just lay right down. I don't pray or read my Bible. But then I get up and repent and get back in position and say, God, I know I'm supposed to meet you on my knees here at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And here I am, God, and he forgives me. He ain't mad, long as you keep doing it. Long as you keep chasing him. Long as you let him know that, God, it's about you, and I ain't caught up on no title, no role, no position. If I'm an usher, if I'm a deacon, if I'm a pastor, if I'm an elder, whoever God has called me to be, let it be. And whoever want to stay here, stay. Who want to go? Ha! But we love y'all, and we don't want nobody to go, because we are life changers forever. International. This is international. This is the foundation for many the great things that God is going to do. Do you want to be a part of it? You're already in the right position. You're already there. You're already on the right track. But I'm telling you, God getting ready to do big things for this little church in this big world. So it's up to all of us to make the decision what we're going to do. But whatever you do, remain anonymous. Y'all good class. Y'all, what time is it? Y'all real good class. Perfect timing. That's all I need is a half an hour. I'm not going to go over what the Holy Spirit gave me to say. I'm not going to try to make something happen. I'm going to give you what he gave me, and we're going to get out of here. But if you need a touch from God, let's get the altar call. Martha Munizzi, what he's done for me. If you need a touch from God, you need to come down here. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to come down here. We ain't got to push. We ain't got to do all this extra stuff. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. And we're going to do what he has called us to do. You need a touch from God. Come on. To just lift up your hands and worship him.
He's so amazing. The love he has for me, I cannot explain. All I know is I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blessed.
Our lives, the Lord is getting ready to make an adjustment. There's some things that's out of order, that's out of line in our lives. There's some priorities that we need to get straight with God. And whoever this is for, you know who you are. There's some things, there's a switch that's getting ready to get flicked on for you. And things are going to look different. Things are going to be different. Things are going to look the way you know they're supposed to be. But when God does what he does, get out the way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. alignment. Some things getting ready to line up for you. Some things getting ready to change in your life. But let him do it. Be left and right, back and forth. Just stay of course that God. And you're going to arrive to that place. Just a touch, God. Just a touch, God. Just a touch, God. Just one touch, God.